you. I have a reason. I want to respect your time on here, but when I was preparing for your it's like, Lord, it's been a while since you and I've talked. As far when I teach, I feel like I'm talking to God, and people just get to overhear me with my conversation with God. So I'm teaching myself as much as I'm teaching you, probably more. It's a reminder. It's a reminder of myself to become a person that would honor, that would, God would say, hey, good job, Imhoff. You did a good job. So I wanted to be done at noon. The section two was, the first question is, what do you want and where's your heart at? What I want to do is give you some tools on, if you have a little bit more understanding, you can deal with more garbage. Okay? And so what I'll do is at noon, I'll pause for 2 minutes, 3 minutes. If you have to leave, go ahead and leave. And then we can do the drawing at noon. And then because the what do you want part, and then where's your heart at? And then I was trying, where's your heart at? So if you had more understanding, then you could take that into the financial. Where am I at financially? Where's my heart at financially? Am I in one of these categories? And a story on understanding. There's a story that goes about this one man had three children. He looked like a zombie. He gets on the subway and he sits down. He just plops down on here. And the kids are like crazy wild, running up and down in the cart and jumping on the chairs and bothering all the other passengers. And all these people start to become indignant about what's going on. And they said, can you believe that kid? He's talking loud enough for the dad to hear. He just sits there zoned out. And finally, this bold woman couldn't take it any longer. Can't you take care of these kids? What's wrong with you? Why don't you teach them respect and discipline? And the father said, this story says, he just looked up and he said, well, we just came from the hospital. Their mother just passed away, and I don't know what to do. And suddenly, the whole train became silent. And there was an understanding, and the kids were still crazy. But they had an understanding as like, that was an honest answer. See, if I can give you a little bit of understanding, a glimpse of what God would really want for us, for me, for you, it would change how we live tomorrow. I mean, I don't know if that thing on the identity side of it did anything for you on my observations, but in the three types of teaching, lecture-based, I talk, you listen, two, interactive, I talk, you answer back if I ask a question. Three is impact. The other reason why, because you say you change as much as a woman as far as dress, what I want to know is that people learn differently, and they also take advice from different people differently. So I've seen people come. So I came as a professional businessman. Do I have the credentials to be a professional businessman? Probably. I mean, I've done a few things in athletics that people haven't done. I mean, you talk about what's your sports dream. You talk about being a sports agent. People will talk more about that than will anything else that I do, right? Anyone know Raymond Berry, Johnny Unitas' receiver guy? I have him. I could call Raymond up. He's a God-fearing man, and I could talk to him and say, hey, Raymond, how are you? You can talk to Raymond Berry. I mean, I've got some contacts on that, but it's like that's on the sports side, but, so what? So some people take advice from professionals. Some people take more advice from their coach, and some people just take advice from that man that they just, there's something about him I like. I don't know what, there's something I like. And that's why I'm really talking to you as a friend. So I came to you in three persons in one. Okay. Trying to say, what person would you communicate best with that I could grab your heart, massage it, and give it a hug right now, and put it back in to give you hope to get through the rest of this day. There were minutes when I was going through my betrayal that I didn't know if I could even breathe or live. Minutes. And I couldn't get through the minute, let alone the day. So I don't know where you're at, but I'm here to tell you that there is hope. And what I had to do is I had to people come in and rescue me, rescue my spirit, people that were men that would stand beside me and say, get away from him. And so you need that in your life. So again, I'm coming right now as hopefully just that guy down the, if I may say this without offending too many, that rich guy down the street that's rich in relationships, that's rich in the Lord, that's rich in his account, even though it's down 35%. you know, rich in things on here, going through troubles, losing stuff, you know, all kinds of devastating things. But I am rich in where I'm going. I am rich in what I've been. I'm rich in where what I have. And I want more, more, more of what God wants for me. Okay? So, the five financial positions, trying to think on here how I should do this. To do this part, the next part. Okay, you read it? All right. All right. Because the last part is really, I wanted to send you off if you can stay. I'll just kind of get through this because you get the concept of where you're at. The last part, the section three, is how can I help you? That's actually my favorite part because I want to send you off from today, even if you never see me again. That I believe that there is power in prayer and remembrance, that at the right moment, when a situation comes in the future, you're going to remember the training that you're in today. And because I was a little harsher in this part because I was the coach section, the last section, or this one here. But you'll remember something today that will start changing your life in a better way. So this is where you're at. And this is really a mindset because there's 19 different sections in this next part. And all I wanted to do in going through this is just make a mental note. You know, there's five different financial positions. There's a poverty, survival, provision, fortune, and abundance kind of position you can be in. And again, it's just one of my observations. So what you do on each question, if we go to the next slide on here, like financial attitude. If you said, what is your financial attitude right now today? Poverty, they're negative, woe is me, everything is hopeless, this world's falling apart, and General Motors shutting down, St. Clair stinks, I'm going to move out of state. They have a poverty mindset, a poverty attitude towards finances. Survival mode, they're mostly negative, they're very pessimistic, life's a treadmill, they're going nowhere, and everything is falling apart. Can you relate to that one? And again, don't worry about writing all these down because there's 19 slides, and someone asked about my outline, and we can figure out how to get you the outline notes or stuff on there. Susan can do that for you. So this is just where am I at, and just make a mental note on if you put each topic and then which one am I. Like provision, they're mostly positive. Their attitude is based on circumstances, and they have a glimpse of a good future. Someone that's in a fortunate, and I used to use the word blessed, but it's so abused on there. I believe in blessings of God, but I'll say I'd rather be fortunate in God. Just, again, another little twist on a word because people get caught up in a word. And that's why I changed my image of how you see me because I wanted to see which person can you relate to on there. So a fortunate, the provision, they're mostly positive. Their attitude is based on circumstances and they have glimpses of a good future. What's that mean? If everything's going fine, they're happy. If the money's coming in, they're okay. As soon as it goes bad, they slip backwards. Fortunate, someone, they're always positive. Their future looks good. They're very optimistic. I have to tell you, I used to be in that all the time, and I just got knocked out of my saddle really bad. And the abundance attitude is they are thankful and humble. They can do anything. They're very optimistic, and they have a conqueror's mindset. Now, I would say that I mostly fell into that until the past few years. I mean, I've made $1 million a year. I've saved a few million dollars, lost a few million dollars, been off the chart humbled. And I'm here to tell you, money means absolutely nothing as far as my inner peace. It actually creates more anxiety and more turmoil, but it's also more wisdom and how can I use it to be a better steward of God and how can I truly get the message of hope and a godliness out there. I mean, you know, we're raising a boy from Africa and it costs us $20,000 a year to have him live in my house. We pay for his tutor, we pay for his private soccer, but we can do that because, you know, and again, the financial attitude on here, where are you at as far as your financial attitude? Because, and I was at a training thing a few weeks ago, and this one very wise man said, most people are in survival mode of their business. They want, how can I survive, and how can I just get by? He says, they're missing it. We want to say, how can we prosper? How can we grow? This is a time. There's a time. There's something that's going to take off. What is it going to be? Where is it going to be at? How can I get into that? I love that. I love that mindset. Versus, I mean, you plug into the wrong source, and it's woe is me. Because is the news preaching poverty or abundance? The media, it's not. It's not. See, it's trying to keep you in that fearful mode. So again, the financial attitude. So you see the concept of it. So I'm going to go through 18 more slides and just read them. And I just say, just absorb them. And just be real with yourself. I mean, I've got a young couple with a young baby over here. How old is your baby? 2 months. Oh, my goodness. I don't remember that. There's a reason God created man. He put that little memory slot, turned it off. Is it a boy or girl? Okay. I don't know what that is. We've got all boys around our house. Dad's in for fun on that one. But again, it's just trying to say, is there a place that I can grow and move up? Like in the last about that, there's different, I want to go from stable to secure to strong to free. Because we don't live free as Christians. We don't live free because we don't understand who we are in and what we are in and what we are made for. We thought we were made for the world stuff over here, and we weren't. We're made to be in the world to change it. Okay, so let's go to the next one. Next slide should be financial crisis. Very good. Someone is in financial crisis, poverty. They're dependent upon, like right now, are you dependent upon others when something goes wrong? Like your car breaks down, you got to go with someone else to get the car. Survival, they panic when something goes wrong or breaks and are dependent upon others to be bailed out. Provision, they do not panic when something goes wrong or breaks. They have access to some money and some credit to cover minor financial crises. Fortunate, their checking account has 2 weeks of take-home pay in their account after they pay their bills. Could you imagine that? You get paid your checks, and you write out all your bills for the month, and you look in, and there's still a whole paycheck, 2 weeks of paycheck still in your account. Would anyone be excited about that? At least having that, okay? So that's where we want to get to. They have a cash reserve. So what's that? Well, that's extra money someplace. And emergency funds. Accounts, what's that? That's a real good thing, too. That's for the fortunate. They just have piles of money to access for whenever they need it. And they see the key in that one, piles of money, not piles of money and credit. The abundance, their checking account and cash reserve accounts are filled. Emergency funds are fully funded with 6 months of accessible cash to offset any financial crisis. If you're sitting here right now today and you had no debt, your car's paid off, your home paid off, and you had 6 months worth of cash, and your employer said you no longer have a job, what would you say? Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to go do something I love doing now. I mean, could you imagine a room filled with people passionate about what they're getting, what they're going to do? I mean, this is the first thing that I've been able to do that I haven't slept really since, what's today? Probably Wednesday. I've not slept. Which is, you know, just rare for me, you know, because I couldn't wait to get here to say, you know, do I really have it still in me? Do I still, I mean, a gift is a gift is a gift. Do I still have the gift to communicate, to get to people's hearts, to get them to really take a reflection of where they're at with their lives and how can I move forward? I mean, I was anxious to see if I still have it. But the financial crisis, where are you at? Because you want to move up. Because, you know, I got knocked back a few steps and I want to move forward. Third, next slide, please. Income opportunity, employment. Get this, they have no job and are government dependent. Don't like that. Survival, they have numerous jobs, full-time and part-time, minimum wage, limited skill and opportunity. Do you have any kids like that? Are you like that? Provision, they have a job. Woohoo! Fortunate, they have a job they love. Man, is that something? Abundance, they have projects. They do not look at work as a job, it's a passion. Their love and defines who they are and what they do. Oh boy, wouldn't that be exciting to fall into that? Wouldn't it be exciting? I mean, because what's your first name with the glasses, the fisherman, hunter?
John.
Wouldn't it be exciting to make a living fishing and hunting somehow? I mean, I could tell this guy would probably teach me how to. What do you do, like the fly fish stuff, or what kind of fishing? Any?
Wildlife fishing, river fishing.
River. That's exciting. Because I could just see his eyes light up when he does that. What if you could use that as a tool to mentor other men that are beat up, and you get them out in the wilderness and say, hey, let's talk. The Wild at Heart guy does that kind of stuff. But the projects, wealthy people have projects. That just sounds good. They have projects. I mean, they made a movie. They made $9 million. It took 6 weeks. I love that concept. So where are we at on there? So I'm going back into the fortunate and trying to get to the abundant side. The fourth thing is housing. In poverty, they live where someone else tells them to live and are totally dependent upon others for housing expenses. Survival, they live with others, their parents and roommates, and are dependent on others for housing support, utilities, light bill payments, stuff like that. They seek out low-cost housing, a trailer house, government-subsidized homes, and apartment stuff. It is common for homeowners in this area to be 30, 60, 90 days behind on their mortgage payment if you're in the survival mode. And see, that wouldn't it be exciting to break that cycle? And see, a cycle is a generational cycle. This is generational mindset. You know what I mean? I'm different than my father and I'm different than my grandparents. Why? Because I wanted to line up how I live my life financially, how the Word of God has tried to show me how to live. My dad's a wonderful person, my grandparents are wonderful people, but they didn't teach me biblical principles. The Bible taught me biblical principles on money and life. Provision. They have a modest home, utilities, rent, or mortgage payments are on time and current, often seek out government loans that require little or no down payment. Fortunate, they have a nice home that's paid for. Utilities and taxes are paid on time. Wouldn't that be exciting? In abundance, they have a dream home, their mini mansion on an estate that's, of course, paid for with a trust set up and funded to cover the household expenses. It's just a different mindset. Do you see any one of those that you like? Do you see where you're at? Because how can I move up? Fifth is expenses, which is the basic day-to-day living. You're like food, clothing, shelter, gasoline in your vehicle. It had to be hard for people that were paying, when you're paying $4 or $5 a gallon, $4.50 for gas. I don't know what it was over here, but in Lansing it was $4.50. It hit that much. And someone that's in poverty, they're dependent upon others for food, clothing, and daily living expenses. That's what we call children. Right? My son, I take care of all survival. They're constantly worrying about money and wondering where the money will come from for food, clothing, and daily living expenses. Pressure is always on the family with a high-stress environment. Which one did we grow up in, Susan? Provision. They do not worry about money for food, clothing. Money is there for basic living necessities, but they have a tight budget. It means they can pay their bills. Fortunate, they have plenty of money for basic living essentials, lots of cash flow, a peaceful household. Abundance is not an issue. A thought. Pause thought. If you don't fight about money in your household, what do you fight about? Next slide. Play button. Expenses. Handling their bills. Handling their bills. Poverty, they have nothing, cannot qualify or afford anything, and are dependent upon others and the government to pay their bills. Survival, bill collectors are constantly calling. Provision, no more bill collectors. Fortunate, no more bills. Abundance, what's a bill? It's only the bills that they know in their pockets. You know, it's as I read the provision one on here, no more bill collectors, is like people are saying, thank God for caller ID. Right? Where are you at in there with expenses and handling your bills? Seven, next one. Checking account. Poverty, they have no money, no checking accounts. They use cash, money orders, and food stamps. Again, pause. If you're there, this is not a condemnation or judgment. This is just observation. Where are you at, and do you want to stay there or get out of there? So I want you to move through it. Move through it. Not forward. Move through. Move through. Move through. There's a next level that you're supposed to be at. Survival, their checking account is usually in trouble. They bounce and return checks are common. They use cash money in order to pay their bills. Again, a pause. I've never read in Scripture where Jesus worried about his next paycheck. He never worried about money. Money was attracted to him. Blessings were attracted to him. Favors attracted to him. He doesn't teach us how we should worry about money. Play. Provision. Their checking account has minimal amounts with overdraft protection. That's occasionally needed. 0% interest-bearing checking. It's a little bit wiser. Fourth, fortunate. They have 2 weeks take-home pay bill. Two weeks of take-home bills pay still in their checking after they pay their bills, and they get 1 to 2% interest-bearing checking account. Abundance, they have 1 to 2 months take-home pay in their checking at all times. Their checking is a tool to transfer their assets. Higher interest-bearing checking, 4 to 6. And again, up through September, it was about 3.5 to 4.5% on the savings accounts. After the October, the market crashed in 100 hours. The world markets collapsed. And we lost about 25% of equity value around the world. Trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars evaporated in just a few days, and the interest rates dropped down to under 2% right now. But historically, you can get a better return on your money. 8, transportation. Transportation, poverty, they are dependent upon public transportation and others. Do they have public transportation on this? Like in Lansing, we have like a bus system or CATA. You can call them up and you pay a dollar. So my African son, he's got an uncle or his brother lives in the same town, but on the other side of town, and he takes the bus. Ay, ay. And he's got his own chauffeur, Jameson, 17. He's got a car. You know, he could just take him, but he just, poverty mindset, survival, get this, they drive throwaway cars and vehicles are always breaking down. Have you been there? It's been a long time since I've been there. Provision, they have one nice car with a payment and a one-beater car that runs and is paid for. Boy, I heard it in the silence. I don't like you, Kevin, with that one. It's okay. Fortunate, they have nice, safe, reliable vehicles that are 1 to 3 years old and are paid for. Abundance, they have dream cars that are paid for. Again, the pause on here is that wealth done right will attract the world's eyes and say, why should I serve your God? Again, wealth done right. And that means you could drive a 2005 car or a 1957 classic Corvette, and you can get the eyes of the world look towards shiny things as a tool to get them to say, this is the real wealth, the real blessing. Play. It's fast, Jonathan, that's fast. Taxes. Poverty, they have no income, no assets, no property, therefore they pay no taxes. Survival, they delay paying property tax because of other crises. They're typically 1 to 3 years behind. They always playing catch up. They panic whenever property and income taxes are owed and are dependent upon others. They go into debt and go without in order to get caught up on their taxes. Provision, their taxes are current. Fortunate, they have funds in place for present and future taxes. Abundance, they have trust and tax strategies in place to minimize the impact of income and estate taxes. Some tools they use, there's a revocable trust, irrevocable trust. There's Q-tips, qualified, there's a charitable remainder trust, there's charitable lead trust, dynasty trust, ILS. There's all kinds of trusts that you can do. There's this legal world to protect the government from taking all your wealth. You want to get to that spot. Again, if you pause button on here, the concept on here, the people that are in usually poverty, survival, provision, they're kind of dealing with their past, or they're stuck in a merry-go-round in the present, and the last two are actually a future-oriented. So that's when you start looking, it's like, am I going to stay on the merry-go-round of trouble and chaos and turmoil, or am I going to just kind of jump off, you know, try and get it where it slows down, or I'm going to get off that ride, I'm going to go to a different area. There's always a place that you can go to find more peace. Insurances, which is health, life, home, renters, autos, disability. There's an insurance guy here, probably verify this on me. Poverty, they do not have any insurance and primarily depend upon others and governments when bad things happen. Survival, they often do not have health insurance when you're in survival mode. Their type of employment that they have doesn't provide that kind of benefit. The coverages are canceled or lapsed whenever a crisis occurs. So if you have a car insurance or life insurance and something bad happens, they just cancel their insurances right out. Life insurance goes first. And then their family would be devastated upon a death or even end up bankrupt, homeless, or government dependent if they didn't have life insurance. Health insurance gets dropped second. Their home insurance would get dropped second, but it's escrow in their mortgage payment. And auto insurance is typically PL and PD and gets dropped last. It's common for those in survival mode to drive their vehicles without insurance coverage. Seen it all the time. provision. They have health and minimal life insurance provided by their employer. They have enough insurance to cover usually 1 to 3 times their income. So if you made $40,000 a year, that they'd have between $40,000 and $120,000 insurance, which if you had, if I said you have enough 3 years of income to raise your family over the next 10 years, is that enough? Not enough, right? There's a math problem. Their family would struggle financially upon someone's death. Their home insurance is escrowed, their mortgage payment. They have renter's insurance for personal contents. They have full coverage on one vehicle, and they usually have lower deductibles, $0 to $250 on there. Someone that's fortunate, they have their health, life, and disability insurance are provided by their employer. They have additional life insurance outside their employer, and usually up to 10 times their household income in insurance. And that's a real good number if you have 10 times, 10 to 12 times of, again, check with the insurance guy, because he says, wouldn't you like to have people all have 10 or 12 times and have full coverage on everything? Wouldn't that be exciting if people protected against bad things on there? So then a family would be secure upon a person's death, and there's no more money worries. And I'm here to tell you, there's a difference between grief with those that have no money problems and grief that they have, that they're devastated. The grief is unbelievably different. I have seen both sides. Their homeowner insurance is in place, and they have usually bigger deductibles, 500 plus. Abundance, they have best protection money can buy for health, home life, auto, disability. They have life insurance for five. Wealthy people have life insurance to cover the liquidity to cover their taxes, their death taxes. Whole different game. They have long-term care, sickness. They have all kinds of, lots of big, big coverage stuff on it. Again, that's a whole other world when you're in survival and poverty mode to even think about that. But there is a place to go grow to. Debt. Poverty, they can't qualify for debt. Basically, no one can right now. It's horrible. Survival, their credit is horrible. The cycle of debt is constant. They're always playing catch-up. They can't afford debt and are living from crisis to crisis. Man, I hate that. I just hate that. Does anyone have seasonal work? You know, where, like my dad, he used to work right. Dad would work right up till the ground got frozen so hard you couldn't dig it anymore. And then, right now he'd be hoping there's snow and he'd do some plowing. And then in the next, by March, April, he's trying to, they have road restrictions where you can't drive equipment, so you don't take the back roads so you don't get caught. So you can try and make a living to pay the bills on here. So there was a cycle of huge money coming in and then no money coming in. And it's all, we run out of money in February. You got to borrow money to get through February, March, April, May. And then by August, September, you pay back, which is just a horrible cycle. That's what I mean by survival mode. You were not created for survival. Provision, that they make their payments on time. The plan to become debt-free is in place. Did you hear that? Plans in place become debt-free, but it's often set back with each new crisis because they don't know how to do it right. And again, it's not only becoming debt-free of non-housing debt, credit card debt, stuff like that. Not just becoming debt-free, it's staying debt-free. It's a mindset to stay debt-free for the rest of your life. Fortunate, they have no bad debt, credit card, installment, revolving debt, and no leases. Because there's good debt, smart debt, bad debt, business debt. There's different types of debt. What I'm talking about this is bad debt. Depreciable asset. To buy a car, it depreciates in value. So if you finance that, that's a bad debt. To use credit cards to buy food and not pay off the credit card, that's bad debt. Their student loan can be good debt because you get higher income. You can use that higher income to make more money. But if you don't do it right and you overspend for education, then you mess up and that good debt becomes bad debt. So there's different levels of debt. I can teach you all kinds of stuff. I'm just trying to keep a narrow focus for today on what's my attitude towards money. Fortunate, they have abundance. They pay cash for all purchases and they never pay one cent of interest to anybody on anything. They have no personal debt. They use smart debt strategies, have business debt that is paid for by others. I like that one. Savings basics, poverty. Well, this time I'm about halfway through. How are we doing in the mindset? Do you see like a pattern in where you're going? And we want to go stabilize, secure, strong, and then become free. Savings basic poverty. They have no money, therefore no savings. Survival, their money goes out just as fast as it comes in, therefore no savings. Provision, they have small savings, typically less than $1,000. It's often used as low interest bank savings accounts, CDs, U.S. savings bonds, stuff like that. Not the best place to go. They typically guess at where to invest is 2 to 5% of their retirement income. And they refer to four investments. Their investment advisors for the average person in provision is eeny, meeny, miny, moe. they said statistically it's like 95-98% of people guess where they put their money in their 401k, or they ask someone else in work who really doesn't know what they're doing, and they don't get counsel on how do you navigate through this crisis that we're in. And so you need to have a little bit of help on that. The fortunate, they have specific goals and accounts open for short-term and long-term savings. They have 2 weeks take-home pay in their checking account. Can you imagine that? 2 weeks of take-home pay in your checking account. Let me back up. You have a plan for saving for short-term and long-term, because you want to do both, plan for both. And then you look in your checking, there's money still in after you paid your bills. Then there's a cash reserve account that covers all your expenses that you pay this year. Car insurance should not be a shock to you when your car insurance bill comes. I can't tell when people say, oh my goodness, my car insurance bill will come this quarter. You've had the same thing for 25 years, buddy. Come on. Your property tax, oh my goodness, no money for my property tax. So it's having money in accounts for cash reserves, emergencies, unplanned things that happen. And that's, if you're alive, you're gonna have unplanned things happen. The kids' education fund's taken care of. They're taking advantage of the tax laws and tax rules. They have informed investment choices and mutual funds, stocks, bonds. They have help on that. The fortunate, the abundant side of it, the thing I find people that are very wealthy, they weigh the tax factor before they do anything. You know, Ross Perot, I don't know if you ever heard of that name, but he had a company in Texas. He had, you know, $3 or $4 billion in municipal bonds getting 3%. And they said, well, why would he do that? Well, it's tax-exempt income. He doesn't need the money anyways. This is the most stabilized investment you could have out there. They weigh the tax factor. What's efficient tax-wise? What's deductible? What's deferred? What's exempt? So they take a tax strategy to get counsel, and they have a sell discipline. So it's a whole different mindset to grow into on there. 13, which is dear and near to most of us, are children's education. Poverty, there's not an option. They are dependent upon others and the government for even the possibility of education. I've had people say, well, I paid for mine schooling. I'm going to make my kid pay for theirs, make them a better person. Well, then save the money and put aside an account for their wedding. Or save it, set aside for their down payment on their home. Or save the money and set them up in a business. The key is just save something. Think about others besides yourself. Survival, their children are on their own for education. They don't have many choices because their parents didn't plan on or have the money. Provision, parents often have huge personal sacrifices to pay for part of their children's education, such as leveraging the future with debt against 401ks and homes, and they pray for academic and athletic scholarships. What I found is since most people didn't plan, what the asset that they used to have, which had never been run over only until this last 24 months, we used to have this thing called equity in our houses, and that people would, instead of saving, and they paid down their home loan, and they would take out a second mortgage to pay for the schooling of their children's education. If you check around, that was the primary source of to go to. And it's not that they just didn't plan it. You know, life went by fast, and it's just not the right thing to do. And the problem is now there's not going to be any equity. It's just not going to happen. Fortunate, education accounts are in place to cover half all the children's education, and their kids get athletic and academic scholarship. Why? Because they give them access to opportunity. My son is being coached by one of the best coaches in the world, and he lives in my backyard. So a lot of the kids get full-ride scholarships at Division I schools, and it costs $300 a month for that, but I look at James, he's going to get a $100,000 athletic scholarship someplace. So we money gives us opportunity to help our children develop in their dreams and skills. Isn't that one of the things we want as a parent? To have enough funds to let our child walk in their gifting and their dreams, if it's a flute or it's a this or that. Abundance, children, grandchildren, and grandchildren educations are fully funded. Okay, 13, retirement savings. Poverty, retirement's not an option. They are dependent upon others in the government. You can kind of get the theme there. Survival, retirement's not even a thought. They're forced to work until they can't work anymore or they die. Not good. Provision, in retirement, they save 2 to 5% of their annual income, and they rely on Social Security and pensions, Social Security pensions are going to disappear in the next, within 10 years, will probably be all gone. So you have to have a plan to have income from the future. Fortunate, they save 10 to 20% of their income for retirement and are looking forward to secure, free, worry-free retirement. in abundance, their financial security is totally secure for their family, children, and grandchildren. You know, as I have my pause button on there, I think I got it in my pocket. I got just a couple more. And what the other day I was coming over here, I could bring some. I have coins and stuff on here. This one right here is a gold coin, 1 ounce gold coin. And when I bought this coin, it was $260. And yesterday, I think when I was driving over, it was $915 for this. And my only thought was, it's like, shoot, I wasn't diversified enough. Because, you know, my investment, my paper assets went down like 30, 35%. But this went up like, you know, in the last 6 years, like, you know, 200, 300%. So, again, my mindset was starting to, again, coming out of a disaster and mental, emotional, spiritual, relational crisis with people outside of my family. I couldn't even think because I had no future. I couldn't even think about next week because I'm a brilliant strategist. I made all these dreams and stuff. And I realized that's not what's important. What's important is my relationship with God, my relationship with the heartbeats in my life on there. So just making money and saving money and planning for money isn't the answer. It's about making relationships, making heartbeats, you know, planning in that area. So, again, is it important for you to have a teacher that sits before you that's been able to, you say, it's not about the money, only if that person's made a lot of money. Should give more credibility to it. If someone has never made any money, then they shouldn't be able to tell you how you should do or what you shouldn't do. Is that fair? Well, maybe not. But 14, giving, poverty. They think, here, key on there, they think giving is not an option because they think they have no money to give. That is not true. I've seen people and it's not true. Survival, their giving is sporadic in small amounts. They give out of guilt because the pressures of their basic financial needs are overwhelming. Our churches have failed you as human beings to use guilt as a tool of manipulation to get your money instead of giving it as a loving relationship between a child of God and their father that can be used as a tool to bring hope to other people. So I'm hoping to work on that to help other people through that challenge. Provision, they give out of need. Sacrificial giving is find it too difficult to give 10%. Fortunate, they give cheerfully, joyfully, and obedient, and they give 10% to support missions, offerings, whatever they want. Abundance, they establish foundations for giving and lives beyond them and create a family legacy of abundant giving. I love that last one, abundant giving. Just a few more and we'll break. Leisure vacations. For vacations, poverty, what's a vacation? No vacation, survival. They have no time, no money, and have too many jobs to take a vacation. Has anyone been there? Provision, they take simple, low-cost getaways, camping, go to relatives, drive to vacation destinations. Fortunate, they take 2 or 3 nice vacations per year that are paid for. They fly to their destinations. And abundance, they take frequent dream vacations whenever and wherever they want, often pay for others to go with them. They have their own jet to fly on vacation, stuff like that. Just another way of living and dreaming on it. And I once heard this guy named James Dobson, and he said that the most memorable experiences of a child's life are found on vacation, are created on vacation. When I heard Mr. Dobson, Dr. Dobson, talk about that, I made a decision several years ago. The last 2 years, again, I've been kind of, I got blown up and lost a lot of parts. But up to that point, we'd take 6 to 7 one-week vacations a year because of that one thing about living, creating memories that my son would remember his father and his mom. 16, leisure for Christmas. Poverty, Christmas is only celebrated if others decide to give to them. Survival, Christmas is debt burden, and their giving is often out of guilt, trying to make up for the lack of their lives. And the guilt comes from the societal pressures because they miss the purpose of Christmas. We should celebrate, let's celebrate Christmas tomorrow morning, which is having Christ in us. I mean, truly in us. Provision, they have a modest Christmas with minimal debt. Fortunate, they have a wonderful Christmas that's paid for. In abundance, they have a first-class Christmas, and they bless many, many, many families. Oh, 17. Oh, you got the different numbers in mind. 17. Oh, what's 18? Ocean Cruise? Okay, it's off. I'm missing one. Okay, that's all right. So there's supposed to be 19, and it's off somehow. Okay, like an ocean cruise, poverty is not even thought, a survival only a wish. A cruise is something you do on Friday night in a beater car. I used to do that when I was a kid. We'd drive to Greenville, and it's like 19 miles away, and drive up and down the strip and windows down. And You use a Chinese some kind of drill. You'd park your car in the middle of Main Street and then run around your car and get back in. Chinese fire drill. Provision, they dream of taking a cruise. Fortunate to take a cruise that's paid for. Abundance, they have their own yacht. And again, tools that they can, again, don't misinterpret. Lifestyle, poverty, there's no choices. Survival, there are limited choices. Provision, some choices. Fortune, many choices. And abundance, unlimited choices. So that's the mindset on here. And then the purpose of this last, because it's like, where's your heart at? Okay? And what I was doing on here, you got this heart thing here, and you got this thing that's, there's supposed to be something between this ear and this ear. It's called gray matter. I guess it does something for us that this here is the part that is messed up. Because this here is the part that can, how do you take your thoughts captive? How do you do that? You literally catch it before it comes out. You have to think, do the step back provision. You have to reframe where you're at. You have to be in a secure relationship. Men, you have to be in a secure relationship with other men outside of your spouse that says that holds you accountable for what? For being a man. In dealing with all the stuff men deal with, you need that. I need that. So the last thing on this section that I did is I wanted to give you some other laws that I've lived by or try to teach and how to move through where your heart's at. And it's to bring greater understanding. The law of selective focus. What that is, people choose to focus on those specific areas that reinforce their opinions. You hear that a lot in politicians. They get to have a selective focus, selective focus, selective focus. If your selective focus has been based in survival and poverty, you are not focusing in the way that your Creator made you to focus. And it's not about stuff. Because if it was all about stuff, then we'd say that the rest of the world is condemned because they don't have as much stuff as Americans. And that is not true. Have anyone seen Slumdog Millionaire? Have you seen that show? Okay, the R rating is not because of any perversions. It's because of how they abuse children in India. It is a brilliant movie on seeing. It's just a brilliant movie. It's won awards and you see why on it. It's a focus. It was a focus. It's a focus. So what is the focus that you have? My focus is to get your head screwed on right so you can move through it. And if your head's not screwed on right, then you may need to have me come beside you and put my arm around you and pick you up and help you move forward and move through. Or you need to find something to help you do that. You need that. I mean, there's people. I was so bad. I had three or four men of God that would stand around. Men of God, you can call up and they could curse. These are certain men in my life. They can call up and they can swear and I won't judge them. It wouldn't bother me if they swore. You know, the kind of people you say, you need to shut up. You need to treat your wife better. That was stupid. You know, you are an idiot. There's certain people that can tell me that. Okay? So we need that. Selective focus, selective focus. Law of perspective. In all my years of dealing with people, the only thing that heartbeats matter. Period. World stuff doesn't matter. Image doesn't matter. Wealth doesn't matter on the materialistic side. What matters is heartbeats. And if you look, when people tell me they have a bad day, my first question is, was your child diagnosed with leukemia? No. Was your wife diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer? No. Was your husband diagnosed with stage 3 prostate cancer? No. It's not that bad day then. Right? Perspective. Law of choice, with every attitude and action, there's a benefit and a consequence. The law of choice on this one right here, and I'm going to stop on here, at least if you want to write these down, then we'll take our break. Law of choice, this is how I read Scripture. When I read Scripture, people take out one verse and they're like, Psalms 37:4 says, God will give you desires of your heart. There's a yeah, but. There's an attitude I have to have, and then there's a benefit that I get if I have the right kind of attitude. And that's a very misinterpreted Scripture on there. So with every attitude and every action, there's a benefit and or consequence. And I use that to actually study the Word of God. So I'm looking, if there's a benefit, I say, okay, what's the attitude and action required of me? So I do this with all of my life on here. So with that, this second part's done, and then I'll let Susan come up and do her thing, and we'll take like a 5-minute break and then or 10-minute break for everyone else. Who is it? Is it Mitchie?
No, it is.
He's saying, are we done? Yep.